Bless you all. All right, I'm going to start in Revelation 21, 7 and 8. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now, God represents spiritual things by natural things because we, first of all, when we start off, we don't see spiritual things because they're unseen. So God lets those spiritual things manifest themselves physically to represent what is happening or what has already happened or even what will happen in the spiritual realm. To start on a safer tone, in other words, if you look at the restoration of Israel in 1948, well, that's something that happens physically. You can see it. And it represents something that's happening spiritually, a restoration of the church and the end of the age. Right? I mean, that's pretty simple enough. A lot of people hold to that idea, even outside of folks that we would say are in true Christianity. A lot of people hold that understanding. All right. And so we've heard a lot about how the Spirit says that in the last times, perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, and iniquity shall abound. Love of many waxes cold. And iniquity in that context, we've heard many times, the literal word is lawlessness. Lawlessness. Iniquity is abounding for a number of reasons. One reason is the United States' approach and philosophy towards life is that everybody has their own right, life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness, or the license to please yourself. And of course, when you please yourself, you're loving yourself. And so, to please yourself, you're not pleasing God. To please yourself, you're doing your will, and to please God, you're doing the will of God and denying yourself. Well, let's take the crucifixion, for example, then. Let's take the crucifixion, because Jesus Christ was the expressed image of the invisible God. And today, the body of Christ, with the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, and as much as we have allowed Christ to operate in our flesh, then we become that transmitted expression of Jesus Christ to our generation. And that is what we don't count it robbery to be made equal with God. We don't count it robbery that God can manifest himself through Jesus Christ, through us, into the world. Well, what did man do to God? What did Satan do to God in the great transgression? Well, he said, I will. And when he said, I will, then it negated God's will, or it killed the will of God. Now, we think of kill meaning somebody in a body's blood pours out of them or their heart stops beating, but Satan killed God. He came down to earth, and we know that sin entered into the world. The serpent beguiled Eve. Eve gave to Adam the fruit, and sin entered into the world. And now when we do our own will and don't let the will of God or the life of God be made manifest, we are killing God. But how can we see that? Because you can't see God. So God sent Jesus. And when they put Jesus on the cross, they killed Jesus, right? So he's the fleshly representation of what spiritually or unseen man was doing to God all along by following his self-will. Right? And that's how he's the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Because men have been killed, even before Jesus came, the will of men has been killing God all along. So you see how God let something in the flesh manifest to demonstrate and show us something that happened in the spirit already. And so it is with our generation. Men shall be lovers of themselves. And spiritually speaking, we've been told that we as a church, we please ourselves, we're in a transgression of spiritual homosexuality. Because the homosexual is actually trying to love himself. And he's trying to act that out by finding someone else that's like him or like her. And of course, we know the first spiritual homosexual, the lover of himself, was Lucifer. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, lovers of self, and that's the characteristic of our generation. So, when people in general, within themselves, love themselves, and that begins to come to a full, then God allows a physical transgression to flourish, to magnify and represent what already happened. Way back, I mean in our church age, way back in the, what we call the Philadelphia church age, and when all that, what, the true Philadelphia church age was pure now. What started off at Azusa Street. But when it started to apostatize, from what we hear, you know, the 40s, 50s, 60s, I know that I was in the UPC church somehow was instituted around 40s or the 50s somehow. And men began to divide and denominationalize. And then we got into the prosperity doctrines. And the prosperity doctrine was a doctrine that catered to letting people serve themselves off of the gift and the grace of God. Apply faith, apply the scriptures, apply the principle to get things for yourself, to get a car, to get a house, to get something, help God help you out in your life. And that was when first started becoming lovers of themselves until it finally come to the full, and now God is allowing in our generation a full blown out, foaming out expression of physical, literal homosexuality. Well, that's just telling you what has already been transgressed in the spiritual realm a long time ago. And so what I'm saying is there is a spiritual thing that happens that involves a transgression, but we don't see spiritual things. And then afterwards, not always afterwards, but quite often afterwards, God lets a physical transgression represent something that happened already in the spiritual realm. And so that takes me back to Revelation 21. Fearful, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now, I'm going to come at this from the spiritual end, and I'm going to zero in on the word whoremonger, because we say that the devil was the first rebel, the devil was the first lover of himself, the devil was the first self-willed one. The devil was the first father of lies. And he was also, spiritually speaking, the first whoremonger. So whoremonging is defined in this sense as a spiritual transgression. And I will get to the depth of it. So Satan is there and he wants to be in worship to himself. So what does he do? He seduces. He manipulates, and he, with his tail, with his lies, he draws a third part of the stars, or a third part of the angels, to worship him. With his lies. With his tail. The prophet that speaks lies, I think Isaiah said, he is the tail. The ancient and the honorable, he is the head. The head is the truth. Lies are the tail. We said it many times. We start off in a lie. We start off as liars. We start off as the tail. And we grow in grace. We go from glory to glory, faith to faith. And we gradually come, the light begins to shine brighter and brighter onto the perfect day as we go through each experience, each trial, each completion of God's operation. We become less and less the tail and more the head, and we grow up into Him, which is the head. Now the devil, he's tails. And that's what we started off with, tails. So he drew a third part of the angels with his tail. And we know what the lies are. Now the devil was anointed. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. He covered God with worship. We've heard about it. The eternal purpose of God is that the angels would worship and bring their worship to Lucifer, and he, as a transmitter or as a conduit, would turn and submit that worship to God. Just like it is today. No man can just worship God. No man can just honor the Father, but he has to honor the Son as he honors the Father. So you have to worship God through Jesus Christ. So I don't sit there to God as a spiritual entity all by myself without Jesus Christ and say, I worship you, God. I know. I say, thank you, Jesus. I say, thank you to the man, Christ Jesus, and he turns around and gives it to God. Now he knows Lucifer had that position at first. Brother Stair told us the true theology of it. That Jesus is replacing Lucifer. So as such, he has a gift, a calling, an anointing, which is without repentance. Say, did you know that to this very day, to this very moment, hour, and second, and point in time, the devil is anointed. He knows the will of God. He has a functioning supply of an anointing and a functioning of God's Spirit, with an understanding to a certain degree of God's word and plan and purpose. Amen. And he's taking that very gift and anointing that God gave him, right, and he's using it against God. Right. You wouldn't think that people don't talk like the gifts and calling are without repentance. God never took that away from Lucifer. Right. Right. Go into a Catholic church. I've heard it many times. People say, well, I went into the Catholic church. I felt a presence. I felt something very peaceful. Yep, the devil has an anointing. Thou art the anointed cherub. Come on now. Scripture says it plain. Did we not cast out devils in your name? Did we not preach in your name? That was the anointing. God gave gifts. What is it that he has descended, ascended, but that he first descended? Then he ascended, led captivity captive, gave gifts to men. Psalm 68, Ephesians 4, quoting from Psalms 68, and in Psalm 68 he says, yea, even to the rebellious also, that the Lord might dwell among them. So God's Spirit is dwelling amongst the rebellious house. It's dwelling amongst the denominational houses, the tear gatherers. God has men anointed with his gift, with his anointing, to gather tares. It does not guarantee that they're the elect and that they'll go to heaven. Necessarily. Right? There's more to it than just an anointing, although that's an integral part of it. The anointing can be a witness, but by itself, it's no sure thing. It's no comfort to anybody. Just an anointing. The devil is anointed. The Pope is anointed. The Word is anointed. Moses sprinkled the people and he sprinkled the book. That means an atheist can read the Bible and the anointing of a God's on it. You'll feel his presence.
Yes.
See? Oh, then we preach many things in your name. You know, all that stuff. He'll say, apart from me, all you that work iniquity. I never knew you. I never knew you. All right, so there's the devil. He's the anointed cherub. So he has a gift. He has a calling. He has knowledge. He has understanding. And what is the lie? The lie isn't as blatant as I stand up here and tell you 2 and 2 is 5. Or 3 and 3 is 12. The lie, and what did the devil have? He had the things of God. The lie is the truth turned into a lie. And that's what we're dealing with the lie. Okay. Let's start with prosperity preachers, and I'm going to get a little disgusting and humiliate myself to make a point. Because we're talking about homosexuality, and I preached it before, so I'll do it again. Now, the things of this life, we all know what Paul called them, right? In the book of Philippians, maybe I can read it. If I have it here somehow. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung. Everything in this life, I count it a bunch of dung. Which really isn't good for anything, except maybe if you put it in the right location in your garden at the right time, might help the seed to grow a little bit. And really our lives aren't worth anything at all. Except maybe the experience we have in this life will teach us about the consequences of sin, flesh, and the devil, and might help that new man to be motivated and to come forth in us. The dung of this life. But to actually, factually, deliberately, strenuously, concertedly, self-willingly pursue after the things of this life, when you know that's an error of faith, the Bible says don't seek those things. The Gentiles do that. What will eat, what will drink, how will be clothed. No, faith says, I seek first the kingdom of God, all these things shall be added unto me. That's in reference to the things of this life. But what do the prosperity preachers do? Now, I liken this to the book of Psalms when the Bible says that the people in the wilderness asked for meat in their lust. What they wanted to get out of life, a satisfied life. Things that they wanted. They asked for meat. What is meat in the spiritual sense? My meat is to do the will of Him that sent me. Amen. And so when they asked for meat in their lust, what did they want meat for? They wanted it for their will. Right? And so God blew in an east wind, and the quail rained upon them until they ate to the full. You know the story. An east wind. Every wind of doctrine. He blew in an east wind. See, he blew in an application of the true word of God. He blew it in. He blew in a prosperity application of doctrine. Amen. He let them, he chose that delusion and let all these prosperity preachers preach. God wants you to be rich. God wants you to have God this, God that, and God is your co-pilot. When really God is the true pilot and we're nothing at all. He's the pilot, period. So that prosperity message came in and it enabled or it drew on the people's covetousness and promoted a pursuit of the things of this life, which is dung, whereby the people exercise themselves to love themselves and practice iniquity, and it abounded. God wants you to have this. God wants you to have that. Well, we know all that stuff, don't we? Yeah, it's a spiritual homosexuality. Now let's get graphic. The act of homosexuality in the male sense is when two men become one. Well, we know in the normal action or position, that's impossible. So they have to sort of come at the issue from the wrong end, if you will. Now, let's spiritualize it. Now, what are we born of? Not a corruptible seed, but incorruptible. The seed is the Word of God. Amen. Well, we drew this allegory before. The seed is the Word of God. In the physical act, the man has the seed in his loins. He puts that seed, he deposits it into the womb of the woman. Well, we're the woman, we're the church. Our hearts are the womb. The seed is the Word of God. And you know, in a male ejaculation, there's hundreds of millions of seeds go in there. And only one makes the penetration. Right? So it's making sense, isn't it? That's why we got to preach and 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 preach. Because what's true in the natural is true in the spiritual. God's using that natural act to tell us what's going on in the spiritual. And the same with the perversion of our generation. Now, just consider it if you will. The male part of the anatomy, I'll leave it unnamed, okay? Use your imagination, okay? The part of the male anatomy where the seed comes out, okay? It's supposed to be put in a certain place so that conception can be made. Okay, but the homosexual doesn't do that. He takes the instrument where the seed comes out and he tries to apply the seed to the dunghole. That's prosperity preachers, taking the seed which is the Word of God and trying to apply it to get the things from this world, which is the dunghole. It is so unnatural. It is so perverted. And you know what? You don't have to be a homosexual with a homosexual. You don't have to be a homosexual man with a homosexual man to practice that kind of perversion. Men and women do that too. Anybody who tries to come at this thing from the wrong end, you are manifesting a heinous perversion. And that perversion represents the heinous spiritual perversion that we've already seen come to the full in prosperity preachers. Now, I know it's a little grotesque, but I'm trying to make a point. And sometimes you have to do that to strike the point. You know, the words of the wise are as goads. They're like nails. And those nails are being fastened. Fastened to your perception. Fastened to your mind so that they stay there. So you'll consider what I'm saying and what the men of God are saying. What the Word of God is saying. What the Spirit is saying. So you have to preach these precepts in such a way that it strikes in such a way that it is fastened. It's fastened and stricken to you so it doesn't come off. Amen. Right? I can take a piece of paper with a message on it and lick it with my saliva and put it on the wall. It'll stay there for a while, but it might fall off. So that's why sometimes things get a little graphic or a little bit sort of striking, if you will. Because it's God's technique to make this principle of the idea stand out from everything else you've been going through during the week or all the other stuff that we've embraced and thought and what have you. Now, let's take it back to the beginning with the devil. Because there is a spiritual form of whoremonging, and the same thing is represented in the Bible in a physical example. Both of them. I'm going to take you through both of them. Okay? Now, the devil, he has his gift. He has his calling. And this is why we're dealing with whoremonging as a spiritual transgression. Because it involves an exploit, a manipulation of the gifts and the calling and the anointing. All right? To rob God or to stand in the place of God. And that's what the devil did. When he drew that third part of the angels, he drew it with his tail. Now, his tails were lying counsels, but lying counsels based on the Word of God that he knew. Right? That's how he did it with Eve. Hath God not said? Right? Used the commandment to draw her attention to the issue. Then once her attention was on the issue, he began to beguile and deceive. See, there's guile in him. Right? He was a guile in him. And blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute iniquity, in whose spirit there is no guile. But the devil had guile. So what he said is, I'll be like God. Let him worship me. Right? So what he did was, he exploited the angel's natural attribute to want to submit. Because God put it in the angels to submit. Right? And it is written, and let all the angels of God worship him. Okay? But the way worship was set up is they would worship Lucifer and Lucifer would worship them. So it was the natural God built into those angels, natural tendency and attribute for those angels to be inclined to submit to Lucifer. So Lucifer saw that. And as those angels would bring their worship, all of a sudden Lucifer intercepted it. And he used the counsel of God, and he uses anointing, and he uses authority, and he uses administration to say, be one with me. Now, we know that in the sexual act, the two become one, right? Paul says, I speak a mystery concerning Christ and the church. The two shall be made one. The husband and the wife, the two shall be made one. I speak a mystery concerning Christ and the church. And in the spiritual sense, when we finally get to the place where my will yields to the will of God and God's Spirit comes in unto me and my flesh does the will of God, I am making love to God. And when the devil takes his, when the devil took his anointing and his manipulation of the Word of God and took, exploited that natural tendency of the angels to worship and to submit and directed that submission to himself to do his will, then those angels were having sex with Satan in the spiritual sense. Now it goes right back to what we talk about, William Branham's serpent seed doctrine, where he taught, it's purported he taught that the serpent or the devil had physical sex with Eve, which we found later, of course, we were taught that's impossible because the spiritual realm, the angels are not like men. They can't marry and neither can they be given in marriage, but they're like the angels, so they don't reproduce. So they have no reproduction equipment. So when the devil becomes one with you and you become one with the devil, it represents a spiritual intercourse. And we're being, sometimes it's an issue of being forced. But this force that the devil uses, it's not like he ties us down and binds us with ropes and ties us to the bed and rapes us. Now, that's one kind of force. But I'm talking about something infinitely more subtle. Subtlety. Where it's a manipulation of what's already happening naturally in those worshiping angels. And by the time they figure it out, they're one with him. See? They were forced into it. Now I hope I can illustrate this. I'm going to have to leave it there for a minute and hopefully get back to it to try to convince you that forcing does not mean necessarily a violent act. We talked about that scripture in the book of Deuteronomy. If a man and a woman are in the field and the man forces the woman in the field and so forth, if the woman, if she cries out, then the man shall be put to death, but the woman shall go free. She cried out, nobody was there to save her. She was forced. But it doesn't say that the woman was, it doesn't say that the man tied her down. How do you force somebody? You prey on their weakness. You prey on their vulnerability. You exploit weakness and vulnerability. You exploit influence and power you have over them. And through a clever beguilement, through a practice of guile, you manipulate that situation. See, the devil manipulated all those angels to come have spiritual love with me, make love to me. And he exploited that, right? So in other words, those angels started off, the angels started off with the intent and with the built-in natural attribute to worship God, and they started towards Lucifer, and Lucifer exploited it to say, never mind God, stop it right here. You love me. You become one with me. You have spiritual sex with me. All right? Now, I'm going once again speak on the issue of Hophni and Phinehas, because Hophni and Phinehas were priests. And once again, we have differentiated the difference between the sin of Hophni and Phinehas and the sin of King David, who both sins involve sexual impropriety, if you will. But we don't have the David. He had his one-time affair with Bathsheba. And the Bible says that when the sin came abroad and David confessed his sin was forgiven. All right? It was forgiven. Because the whole scenario was something where he chanced to see upon her and he got that lust began to conceive in him, and once it conceived in him, it sort of kind of overpowered him and drove him to do that thing. And then in his desperation, he kills Uriah by the sword of the other enemy that he put him hot in the battle and all of that stuff. We know. Okay, and so that's one thing. Then the episode passes. And we know that the Bible says that King David was a man after God's heart, and he was as an angel. Okay? So there's something there. All right. But you see, this is an episode. What an episode of one episode of adultery that came and passed. All right, now, what's the difference between that and Hophni and Phinehas? Okay, now, 1 Samuel 2:22, Eli was very old and heard all that his sons did to Israel, how they lay with a woman that assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And that's key. They laid with a woman that assembled at the door. So you see, it's the same thing as what happened in heaven with Lucifer, the first spiritual whoremonger. See, that's why Revelation has it in the list. Fearful, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, whoremongers. Because it's in a list of spiritual transgressions. And this is what we're saying. Hophni and Phinehas, what they were doing in the sexual realm constituted a spiritual transgression. And you're going to see it again. Okay, so they assembled, they lay with the woman that assembled at the door of the tabernacle. And Eli, their father, says to them, why do you do such things? I hear of your evil dealings by all this people. And we said this before. All the people knew about it. It's not something like they could say, cover this, hide this. It was too many people knew about it. Nay, my sons, it's no good report. If you make the Lord's people to transgress. You hear that? If you make the Lord's people. Did you hear that? If you make the Lord's people to transgress. You hear that? See? It's a forcing. If one man sins against another man, if we sin against each other as brothers, the blood of Jesus Christ covers us, we sin a sin, we pray for each other, we're covered. Right? If one man sin against another, the judge shall judge him, but if a man sin against the Lord, who shall entreat for him? What are you going to do if this becomes a spiritual transgression? Something that is an exploit, a manipulation of gift and calling and grace and things that God gave you to serve yourself, gratification, and to stop worship from reaching God. Because you'd rather have your jollies. Huh? That's a sin against the Lord. Right here.
Thank God. Now David sinned against the Lord. Who entreated for him? Who's going to entreat for all of us? Every one of us. Including the abominations that are being perpetuated by the preaching of the Word of God. Who's going to entreat for us? We have an advocate. We have somebody that's entreat for us. And we're not going to take that away from any of you. Any of myself, you, or any of you. You need an advocate. And he came and fulfilled it and accomplished it. You listen to the Overcomer. It's 8:34 in the evening here on Saturday, November the 9th. It makes no difference how you want to preach it. The end of this thing is Jesus Christ and Him crucified and the finished work of Calvary, our perpetuation, a continual advocate for us who have been chosen and called. Every sin that a man commits is directly, no matter how you want to look at it, or indirectly, against God. Every sin, especially when we sin by denying the Lord that bought us. He will entreat. He will intercede. He will do it. You listen to the Overcomer. Thank God for the warnings and the admonitions. But may everyone realize, may God help us to get it, that unless you and I lead completely, who's going to entreat for you? Huh? When you entreat or tread into the presence of God. If there's one sin that infuriates God, it's when men want to be God. If there's one sin today that's opposing Christ, it's Satan who wants to be God. And that's all there's to it. That's what iniquity's all about. And even though we've been created perfect in the new birth, when we try to take what belongs to God, whether it's vengeance or forgiveness, and take it upon ourselves, we are sinning against God. Who's going to entreat for us? Who is going to entreat for us? I'll tell you who's going to do it. He's doing it right now. Jesus Christ, the righteous for the unrighteous, the God for the sinner, the Redeemer, the Hope One. Glory be to God. And that is the truth. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Overcomer Radio broadcast. My name is Brother Stair. And I'm not going to let anything or anyone separate me from the love of God. That's what entreats for us. That's what it is. And boy, I'll tell you, I thank you, God, that I'm not doing what he's doing. I thank you, God, I ain't doing what that one's doing. I thank you, God, that I pray and I fast and I study and I do this and I do that. Huh? Oh, boy, ain't I something? Ain't I something, Lord? Iniquity abounding. I deal with it all the time in everyone. In my, yes, yes, iniquity. Self-righteousness. Self-justification. Self-atonement. Oh, God, have mercy upon it. You dear saints just listening to me and listening to the Overcomer tonight, you can see why, as I go on week after week and day after day and night after night, telling you that this is the voice you need to hear. This is the one you need to pay attention to, because these other voices will turn you away from your Savior, your God, your faith, your only hope is in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. How many times do we preach to you and tell you that this Antichrist spirit that tried to replace or take the place of Christ in you and in me and rise up, this Antichrist spirit that's challenging us in our faith, it is only going to be overcome. Overcome? We overcome by the blood of the Lamb. Not by doing good or doing evil, but by faith in Jesus Christ. And that, my friend, is the truth. Say, our contact phone number is 1-843-701-5053. We'll be going to the tabernacle for prayer here as we try our best. Oh, boy, can I hear them raging now again, huh? Can I hear them? Well, certain men, huh? Even denying the Lord that bought them, the one that entreats for you, denying that he is the propitiation, denying that he is our redemption, denying that he is our salvation, Jesus Christ the righteous. He became sin for us, that we would be made the righteousness of God in him. And he's taken our sins and turned them into righteousness. Wow. Okay. You're listening to Brother Stair here. It's 6:39 here on Saturday night. I deliberately sat here tonight because I could sense what was coming all day, all night. I can sense this affront. Some of the last words I said when I come out of the dining hall today was, leave me alone and leave God's children. Let God's people go free. Stop entangling them with the yoke of bondage. My God, he sets us free from condemnation, free from sin, free from death, free from eternal damnation. He entreats for us, ever living, to make intercession for us according to the will of God. What is the will of God? That all men repent, that they don't perish. And so Jesus is entreating for us that we would repent. Everyone except you repent. Where you think, oh, that guy's only, look how, my God, man, what's wrong with us? How we resist the truth of God. How we do it to our own condemnation. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Say, our prayer line's open. If you'd like to get a prayer through, you can do that. The phone number is 1-843-701-5053. We'll conclude here with going back to the tabernacle and mediating, if we have to, and hope that you allow the Spirit of God to convict you of your sin and lead the convicting power of God upon mankind to the Holy Ghost. Grace and truth, the law came by Moses. They have Moses and the prophets. What did they teach? They taught that men needed Jesus Christ and grace and truth. Truth. He saved sinners yesterday, today, and forever. And you don't want to commit the willful sin of turning away from Him who saves sinners. Can't make it any more heavy than that. And I'll do one more thing. Heavenly Father, let it be known that Thou art God, once and for all. And let be known that I am Your servant, and I am preaching the truth. I'm standing on the promises. Now they can say anything they want to say, which they do. I've warned these people. I've admonished them. I've charged them. Touch not mine anointed. When God's people, they're anointed. The anointing breaks the yoke. Don't entangle them again with the yoke. Or yourself. So you can't love, so you won't forgive, so you get bitter in your heart. Oh, God. Help us, Father, I pray, in the name of Jesus. Like I said, we're coming up to prayer time, a good time for us to get ourselves in the realm of praying, repenting, and getting ready to meet the Lord. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Praise God. It's the truth, Lord. I speak the truth in Christ and I lie not. Certain men have crept in unaware, ungodly men, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness, like it has no meaning at all, like it has no power at all, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness, and denying even the Lord God that bought them. My God, are we ever? Now, that would be called manipulating the Word of God, huh? Because I say it just like it says. Ladies and gentlemen, citizens of the world, saints of the Most High God, remnant of the remnant, the very few still today, you are under attack by Satan, your adversary. He's a liar. He cannot convince you of sin. He doesn't have the convicting power. He cannot do it. And he's not doing it unless you let him do it. Period. Your salvation is in the Lord. Not in your sinning or not sinning, but in faith in Jesus Christ. We like to quote all kinds of scriptures, don't we? But some of them we just seemingly avoid. The Apostle Paul said, "What shall I say then? Since I evaluate the flesh and the spirit, what else is there to say? It's come to the absolute conclusion that with my body I will sin." It sins, period. It does. But with my spirit, I will serve the law of God. And serving the law of God and believing in Christ, I will be saved. Praise the Lord. Oh, how people jeopardize their life, huh? They don't. It's amazing, huh? Amazing how we call this sin over here, and then we're turning right around and do exactly what God told us not to do, and we don't think it's sin. We don't think it's sin. And when you analyze the reason why they're doing it, the business of their own hearts, because they think God deprived them of something. Oh, yeah. Well, ladies and gentlemen, in times like these, for such a time as this, because this is the last time, God's been over this route with the people of God from the very beginning. Very from the beginning. At first, they were ignorant. They were ignorant that they were sinning, so God winked at it. But then he began to reveal his purpose for which he made man. He then added the law. We even read it just like that. The law was added. Added to what? Huh? It was added to the knowledge of men. For by the law came the knowledge of sin. And then through the breaking of the law came the knowledge of a Savior. Don't throw that away. Don't let your sins, your iniquities, don't throw it away. He will turn again. He will cast all your sins, Jesus, behind his back. He will cast them into the depths of the sea. He's doing it now, once and for all, here in the end of the world. He will subdue your iniquity, and you will cry and believe and rejoice in the God of your salvation. And he preached unto them Jesus. What must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Very simple, and very clear, and very precise. Come, Lord Jesus, come.
If from thee I'd go in quest of truth divine, for thou hast the words of eternal life, none other could I find.
Just a moment. We're going to be going to prayer. There is a sin unto death. A willful disobedience to believe on Jesus Christ. To sin unto death is unbelief. Anyone who contributes to unbelief, belief on Jesus, Calvary, His return, He paid the debt. That is a sin unto death. There is no other sacrifice for sin. Christ is the only sacrifice. He's the only one. He is the propitiation for your sins and mine. And that is the truth. Coming up with prayer time, may God help us to groan and cry within ourselves for all the abominations. There's no more abomination today than the abomination against God. How we curse Him and His work. And somehow, Satan has sure done a good job on deceiving men to cause them to see themselves. Come, Lord Jesus, come. This is the Overcomer radio broadcast, and my name is Brother Stair.
A king. The first time Jesus came to earth, they crucified our Lord. But next time Jesus comes, He'll be exalted and adored. He came before, He'll come again. Blessing, peace He'll bring. First
Jackson City International Worldwide Broadcast, The Overcomer. And this is the voice of the Last Day Prophet of God. This broadcast reaches the entire world, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, comes into your country, your place, on this frequency at this time, every day. I would like to just give some information on how you can help us to continue this broadcast. One way is to contact us. Somehow let us know that where you are and what you're listening at or what frequency you're tuned into or what source of broadcast. One worldwide way to check in with us is to go to our website if you have the opportunity to go to our website. There on the website is a contact page that you can click on, send me an email. There on the website also is information concerning the Overcomer broadcast. The website is very simple. You just go to www.overcomerministry. That's M-I-N-I-S-T-R-Y. Overcomerministry.org. And like I say, just explore the website, go to our contact page, and send me an email if you like. I'd appreciate it. Another way is to give us a telephone call if you have access to the phone. Our phone number is 001. That's U.S. code 001-843-701-5053. You can call that number anytime, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. That telephone number again is U.S. code 1-843-701-5053.